How wonderful it is to know that we are in the midst of one another who love as God loves. And to share that love with one another, what an amazing experience it is, and what a wonderful opportunity it is for us to invite others to join us and to be a part of that. A man by the name of Frederick W. Taylor worked for a large steel mill during the Spanish-American War in 1898. He was an ambitious man, young executive that was one of the first to apply the scientific methods, as it was then known, to a study of productivity, specifically productivity of manual labor. In those days, there was no cranes to load steel bars onto railroad cars, and it was back-breaking manual work. And after some experimentation, Taylor concluded that the men could do more work if they took periods or pauses of rest at definite time intervals. He introduced some of the workers, or induced rather, some of the workers to try this new method he had come up with. He offered $1 a day more and flattered them by calling them his high-priced men. Under this system, a whistle was blown after the men had carried iron for 12 minutes. At this whistle, they would sit down and rest. Their rest would last for only 3 minutes, but when the whistle was blown again, it was a signal for the men to resume their work. The result of this experiment was that iron was carried at an increased rate from 12 and a half to 47 tons a day. This ushered in an era of rest pauses and was the forerunner to what many of us have taken part in, such as coffee breaks and smoke breaks. Everyone needs rest. Everyone desires rest. In fact, the longer we go without rest, the greater our desire for it grows. From the very beginning of time, physical rest has been a prominent aspect of our world. Indeed, it is a prominent aspect of the Bible. God rested after His creative work was done. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Jesus acknowledged man's need for physical rest when His disciples had spent a lengthy period of time ministering to others, and upon their work, there were so many who kept coming that they could not even take a break to eat. Jesus instructed them to come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. God has provided for man's rest and man's need for that rest. In the Old Testament, we read of the provision of the Sabbath rest. Jesus Himself declared in Mark chapter 2 and verse 27 that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath rest was part of the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus chapter 20 verses 8 through 11. Rest was commanded during the busiest of times of work. Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 21 states, "You shall work 6 days, but on the seventh day you shall rest, even during plowing time and harvest, you shall rest." The Sabbath rest was emphasized when God said in Exodus chapter 35 and verse number 2, "Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death." God has provided sleep for rest. Sleep comes easiest when we feel safe. David, who trusted in God, wrote in Psalm 4 and verse 8, "In peace I will both or at the same time lie down and sleep. For You alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." The preacher the author of Ecclesiastes, wrote that wealth cannot satisfy, citing a few examples, one of which was between those who labor and those who do not. He wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 12, "The sleep of the working man is pleasant, a word for calm or peaceful sleep, whether he eats little or much. But the full stomach of the rich man does not allow him to sleep. Exhausting work leaves us tired and in need of rest, while the cares of this world and the cares of taking care of a lot of things leave us sleepless." This pattern of work and rest was, again, built into creation. Moses said in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Look with me at Psalm 104 for just a moment. In Psalm 104, beginning in verse number 19, "God provided time for the needs of all living beings. He said He made the moons and the season for the seasons. The sun knows the place of its setting. You appoint darkness and it becomes night, in which all the beasts of the forest prowl about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they withdraw and lie down in their dens. Man goes forth to his work and to his labor until evening." There is a time for the wild animals to be active, searching out their food, which is provided for them by God. And there is a time for them to have rest. There's a time for people to work and a time for them to cease working. And thus wisdom is needed. Wisdom is needed to balance work and rest. We cannot sleep and rest all of the time. Notice Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse number 9. "How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man." A sluggard is a lazy person. And that lazy person is described as one who says a little sleep and a little slumber. That term slumber is interesting because it comes from a word that suggests being drowsy from lack of activity. He's so lazy that he has made himself drowsy from his lack of activity. The rest in verse 10 means to lie down for resting. These two terms, slumber and rest, result in a lack of goods or money as if one has been robbed by surprise. The armed man, skillful in the art of protecting himself, will have what he needs, but the sleeping will need what he cannot provide for himself. In a list of precepts and warnings found in Proverbs chapter 24, beginning in verse 30 and going through verse 34, we find a warning to avoid poverty through a life of self-discipline and working to provide for the necessities of life. Proverbs 24, beginning in verse 30. "I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. Behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man." There is something to be said, though, against overworking. In Exodus chapter 18, beginning at verse 17, Jethro counsels Moses. In verse 20, he said, "Make known to them, the people of Israel, the way in which they are to walk and the work they are to do." as Jethro's context would continue, he would tell Moses that he should get some men to do the work of judging the minor matters and have the people only bring him the most important matters. In this way, everything would be accomplished and everyone would share in the work. In Psalm 127 and verse 2, it's made known to us that it's even vain to rise early and to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for He, God, gives to His beloved, even in His sleep, the sleeping of His beloved. While we are at rest, while we are sleeping, God is still working for us. He's working on our behalf. The expressive language of Psalm 127 means that there is no room for anxious toil, for it is of little value, since it is ultimately the Lord who makes provisions for people's needs. What is needed by man is not anxious care, but faith. Faith coupled with trust. Overworking can indicate that one is worried or bothered about many things, as Jesus told Martha in Luke chapter 10 and verse 41. With all this discussion of physical rest, we have something to look forward to. For this perfect balance between rest or sleep and work will be fulfilled in heaven. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. And again in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3. But that points us then to spiritual rest. Spiritual rest is the more prominent rest spoken of in the inspired writings of Scripture. God Himself gave the children of Israel rest as He was present with them in the wilderness. Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 14. God wanted to give the Israelites even more rest in the promised land. In fact, He wanted to give them rest from internal and external enemies, but their disobedience kept them from even entering God's rest. Notice Psalm 95, beginning at verse 7. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore I swore in my anger, truly, they shall not enter into my rest. Those who eventually did enter were given God's peace, Joshua chapter 1. And they were given God's rest, Joshua chapter 11. And that rest and that peace gave them what they needed, yet it was only intermittently. They would spend periods of time having peace, sometimes 40 years, other times 80 years. But then their disobedience would result in that peace and rest being taken away. Disobedience and deficiency of faith resulted in their exile then into Babylon. And upon their returning from captivity, one of the highlights of their return was their hope of entering into God's rest, thus having peace. As the prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 30, verse 10, and again in chapter 46, verse 27. Peace and rest were the fruit of righteousness and just living. Isaiah spoke of this in Isaiah chapter 32. In verse 17, he said, and the work of righteousness will be peace, the service of righteousness, quietness and confidence forever. People cannot produce peace and security on their own through human efforts or political alliances. Peace and security are lasting results of God's Spirit producing righteousness within people, and righteousness within the person producing peace and security and trust. To be at peace, to be at rest spiritually, is to find peace with God. In the New Testament, spiritual peace comes through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and following. In fact, Jesus is the one who invites everyone to come and enjoy rest for their souls. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, in the context of Jesus' words, Jesus is inviting all people who were tired from carrying the yoke the teachers of the Jewish law had placed upon them. A yoke that was beyond the actual law given by God, but these requirements were placed upon them by the Jewish teachers, and it was so heavy and so burdensome. Jesus said, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." Rest from their burden carrying. He would give rest. He would give them a yoke of submission wherein they would accept Him to direct them rather than those Jewish teachers. Under Jesus' direction then, they would learn from Him. They would be students or disciples of His. And as they learned everything they could from Him, they would come to accept His invitation, learning that Jesus was gentle and humble. From His gentleness and His humbleness, He gave this invitation that all who will come to Him will find rest. Rest in the form of proper fellowship with God. And in that rest, they would still have labor, they would still have work, for they would take up the yoke and the load which Jesus gives. He gives to His followers a yoke that is easy to wear, a burden that is light or easy to carry. The psalmist, in the most beautiful of way, writes of the security of one who trusts in the Lord in Psalm 91. It's the entire chapter, and we'll not take time to read it, but sometime read Psalm 91 and see the security that's provided for those who trust in God. For as we come to the New Testament, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, we find that one who trusts in God has peace. That peace is a result of being justified by faith. Justified by faith in God. Spiritual rest then comes as peace when the believer's mind is set on the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 6. This rest, spiritual rest, is promised to all who put their trust in God and obey Him. But the ultimate rest is eternal rest. Eternal rest consists of peace with God. It also consists of an absence of work and troubles, and furthermore, deliverance from the experiences of this physical life. Eternal rest is promised to God's people in Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. "Therefore, let us fear, if, while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word that they heard did not profit them, because it was not united with faith or by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as He has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for us to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day of rest after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following after the same example of disobedience. The Israelites wandering in the wilderness had rest, but their rest was intermittent. It was missing at times because of disobedience, and they didn't get the full expectation of the rest God promised to them because of that disobedience. But believers have entered the rest in faith through Jesus. Eternal rest. It was foreshadowed by the rest of God after creation, verses 3 and 4. And then in verse 8, it was foreshadowed by the promise to Joshua and to the people of Israel. Anyone who hardens their heart will not enter into the rest that remains, verses 5 through 7. The eternal state, then, of God's people is described in verse 9 as that rest, the eternal rest. And this rest is conditional. It's conditional based upon faithful obedience. He opened the passage, verses 1 and 2, and closed the passage in verse 11, speaking of this matter of faithful obedience. The eternal rest that remains for the people of God consists of several blessings. The blessing of being in the presence of God, John 14, verse 3. The blessing of happiness, the fullness of joy, as the psalmist spoke of it in Psalm 16, verse 11. It's refreshment. Refreshment that's provided by the waters of life, Revelation 7, verse 17. And satisfaction for the soul, Psalm 17, and verse 15. This rest consists of relief, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, a rest that comes from those who would be against us and opposed to us and our faith. It's also a rest, Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. But this eternal rest is also made up of release, a release from death, a release from sorrow, a release from pain, Revelation 21 and verse 4. All of this is a result or comes by way of what is said in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His bondservants will serve as in worship Him. We will worship God eternally. We will worship Him, for there will be no other concern, for all our needs will be perfectly met in the eternal rest. Edwin R. Roberts of Princeton Seminary once sat under a preacher who concluded his announcements by saying, "I am not going to take a vacation this summer. The devil never does." Robert, upon hearing this, went home and began to reread the Gospels to see what Jesus' attitude was concerning this matter. What he found was that in Jesus' 3 years of ministry, of active ministry, there were mentioned some 10 different periods of retirement or rest. This was in addition to his nightly sleep and rest, and the Sabbath day rest, which he also observed. Upon this matter, he asked the question, whose example are we following? The devil's? He is like the thief who comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly, John 10, verse 10. And so as George Mueller said, the stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord as well as his steps. We need rest. Will you take the necessary steps to find peace with God? Will you listen to Him? Believe the message that reveals Himself and His Son, man's sin and the way to salvation. Will you repent of sin, confess the name of Jesus as Lord, and be baptized into Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the one anointed as Savior? In Him, you will find peace. In Him, you will have spiritual rest. In Him, you will be led to eternal rest. Some who are in Him will go astray. And being as they have gone astray, will you submit to the Lord that you may be restored? Restored to the fold. You see, everyone enjoys physical rest from time to time. Spiritual rest, though, is given only to those who have found peace with God through Christ. Eternal rest is promised only to the people of God who are faithfully obedient to the very end. And so I ask again, will you take the necessary steps to find peace with God so that you might not only have physical rest, but spiritual rest, a rest that leads to eternal rest, a home in heaven? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, being one who needs rest, come to Him. It's His invitation, and He is inviting you, as together we stand and as we sing.